everybody catch a sunset? Yeah, isn't it nice to go outside and feel that fresh air? Who grounded? Who took their shoes off and went in the grass? Anybody? I saw a couple people did. Look at, that's Sue Hayes. I see you, Miss Barefoot Babe. Did y'all like the music? Did you hear the music playing? That was Larissa Stowe and Shakti Tribe. They're playing on Sunday night. Highly recommend it. I'll start the dancing, I promise. That's my job. So welcome back. I know people will be filling in, and we're going to get started with my new BFF. What does that mean? Best friend forever. Yeah, best friend forever. My eternal best friend. I know. Soul sisters. Yeah, we met through Portal to Ascension, and I wore this top on behalf of Lori Wheeler because she talks about the metamorphosis, and butterflies represent this metamorphosis, right? And I feel like all of us are kind of in that process right now. And Lori is so amazing. We just had her on Awakening Code Radio. It's my first time meeting her. And you listened? You heard? Oh my gosh. I'm so glad, Sue. And I just feel like I've known her lifetime after lifetime, like many of the people that we've met here and everything. And she does so many things that I don't even know where to begin on the list of everything she does. So I think she's going to get started and fill in the gaps, right? But I do hope that many of you will go over to her booth. Lori is one of our sponsors, and she's doing some adventure tours, which I think will knock everybody's socks off when you see what she's got up her sleeve. So will you welcome Lori Wheeler with a big round of applause.
Well, welcome everyone, and thank you so much for being here. So I just want to begin 30 seconds on behalf of Earth Day tomorrow. If we can just stop for a moment and give thanks to the Earth, to Mother Earth. Open your heart and just feel the blessings that we receive from her. She is always giving and really doesn't ask in return except that we care for her. So if we could just do that for 30 seconds, you know, open your heart and just give thanks. Thank you for all the beauty that you bring to us, all the wonderful food, everything that you do for us. We are so very grateful. Feel the love that she gives to us, and that we can return that to her. And so it is. Thank you. So, here I stand. So I had a little bit of a shift. No shift happens, right? So what happened was I had this kind of planned out of what I was going to speak about, and then I hear from them. And they tell me, well, about face and move it more into this. And I said, oh, okay. So I'm going to talk about something a little bit different, but kind of in keeping. So we are in a metamorphosis. We have been for a long time. I wrote a book called Oh No, Not Another Learning Experience. And on the front, it's all about a metamorphosis, right? Because that's what we're in right now. And actually, I'm a homeopath, so one of the very first remedies that I actually proved was the butterfly. So I'm going to tell you, no butterflies were harmed in the making of it, but it was a very powerful, powerful remedy. Electrically speaking, when the person made it and were grinding a dead butterfly already that was caught in the screen, what happened was it blew out many of the electrical appliances in the kitchen. So we know it's very electrifying. And just to watch them, we kind of know that. So a couple of the main points I'm going to run through today are about DNA. I want to talk about sacred places and ancient wisdom that is held within. I want to talk about the freedom in remembering our past and our future, and then a little bit about the retreats that I do. So I hope I do this right. There we go. Okay. So I'm going to tell you just a really quick skinny of my story. I have what I consider always been connected. I used to channel Yeshua when I was 5 years old. We would have many conversations in bed while I was in bed at night, and we'd carry on conversation. And I remember asking him if I could leave at 5 years old, that this was quite challenging. And his response was, well, you have a mission you've come to settle in to do. And, you know, at five, that's not exactly what you want to hear. But in my 30s, I was married to my first husband, and I have four children. We built a house, and we became very ill from the drinking water. We had a well. And simultaneous, I found out that it was Native burial ground. So I got a double whammy and a rude awakening, because what happened for me personally was that I lost my memory. So I used to have to write a map to go to town to figure out how to get there or anywhere, how to remember anything. And it was very challenging. But what it did was it opened up my capabilities. I don't want to say gifts, because we all have capabilities. We're all capable of doing this. I'm no special than anyone else. I just have learned how to do it through the lack of other faculties. And I still have some memory loss, which is why I have note cards to follow along today. I should start out by saying there was this very special tree on this land which one day called to me in the back, and I went and leaned up against the tree, and at that moment I was teleported to another time, and I saw what was happening, and it was quite a part of my learning experience, which is why I titled my book that way. So I am a receptor, a translator, and communicator of energy, and I have been in energy work for probably now close to 30 years. I began as a homeopath, but I also have been receiving transmissions from many different guides for this a long period of time. And they just show up. They've taught me a lot over the years. And a couple of them that I want to share with you today are, the first one is it's a council called the Emissaries of Light, and the one particular that speaks to me is called, it names itself and has a kind of a, I don't even want to say masculine, maybe that's what I created. It's known as Megalithicon, so it's named itself a very massive consciousness. I call it Mega for short, and if you've ever seen my YouTubes or anything, you'll hear me talk about Mega. I write a lot in my book. I'm always talking about Mega, what Mega says. And if I go back over 3 years ago, before COVID began, Mega one day came to me and began to tell me everything that was going to be happening. And I'm going to tell you how accurate Mega was, everything that it said to me is what's happening now. So I'm very fortunate when I get these details way in advance to help me prepare. The next group I want to talk about is the collective goddesses that come. And they come as a group, which I've never had this come this way. They're Isis, Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary, Sophia, Kuan Yin, and several others. And so they come as this collective, and they come because I'm working with them, but they also want to tell you that they are the epitome of gentleness, grace, the beauty of feminine, the sweet nectar of existence. Wow. I just, when they said that to me, sweet nectar of existence, I love that. And then they said sweeping. Now, I know what sweeping is. You get the broom out and you sweep versus vacuum, right? But that's not what they were really kind of talking about. Sweeping, to now my understanding, is a cleansing ritual to prepare for new energy on every level of a person to sanctify a space within you, and they clear the old astral buildup. So that's why they have shown up, and they will show up for others to work with you also. And then the third I'd like to represent here is the Sphinx, and she is an amazing energy to work with. She speaks with me all the time, and she represents the highest longing of mankind to transcend its own self, as we are doing, to raise the lower animal nature to its highest potential. So we know this is what we're doing right now, and this is why many people are feeling drawn to Egypt at this moment. In fact, one day I did a journey, and she called me in, and she said, come in through the door of the paw. And I thought, there's a door in the paw? So I went in, and we did our work and all, and I Googled afterwards. Thank goodness for Google, right? And there's a door in the paw. Who knew, right? So I thought that was pretty interesting and very validating. But we're teaching ourselves. We're reteaching ourselves through this remembering now, and a lot of the remembering is coming through from other times, and it's coming into now to help us really grow into who we are and express these higher qualities and frequencies for the additional strands of DNA. And these sacred places, they have this capability of helping us do this. They carry the high frequencies, a lot of light, and they're reawakening our dormant DNA. So we're here to remember who we are and to help us into this beyond where we are in our embodiment in 3D. Also, what they're helping us understand is how to communicate and understand what the communication is in different ways. So we're eventually moving into a time or a place where we're no longer going to speak, where we will use our telepathic communication, much like the dolphins do, like the eco sonar. So when the dolphin sends out information, or it receives information, it's the energy that travels, and then it gets imagery. This is exactly what we're coming into. And I say, oh, well, that's how I read energy. I get imagery, and I get a sense of it. And so I can really understand that, and I can help other people come into that also if they don't know how to do that. So, okay, having said that, I'm going to go on to DNA. So our DNA is highly affected by information and our environment. It's like antenna, and it's very sensitive to all energies. So as we are electromagnetic, and our patterns also work with electromagnetics. Electro being, it goes out, magnetizing, coming back in. Now, where am I going with this? So I work right now with a scientist, Glenn Rain. Does anybody know who Glenn is? Okay, super good. Glenn is a super guy, he really is. And he's worked with HeartMath. He's a research scientist, he's a quantum biologist, and he was a professor at Mount Sinai Hospital. So he's got some nice understanding, and he's just cutting edge. He's so far ahead of where we are in some of our sciences and our medicine today. But he and I are working on what and how energy affects our DNA. And I've got to tell you, I've been in this for almost 30 years now, and it blows my mind. It really does. How and what is affecting DNA. But the fact that we can calculate it really matters, because then we can manipulate and work with it in a way that we can understand it beyond what we do now. So who here has received some type of energy work? Yeah, well, most everybody. You know, I mean, you smile at somebody, that's energy, right? But to understand it from a scientific point of view, where you can measure it and understand it that way, this is going to go miles for us. So he calculates, he has all of the equipment to calculate it, and I can see it and I can communicate with it. So with the two of us together, I can tell him what I see, he explains what it is scientifically, and then we go and measure it. So we're working with EMFs, we're working with Scalar, and we're working with quantum. And right now we are working on conductivity. So this DNA is a conductor, and it can conduct electricity, which is actually, I mean, some of you may say, well, okay, we kind of know that, but this is really a new phenomenon in science and in medicine. And there are different various forms of this type of energy, subtle, divine, EMFs, bioelectric, and so on. So some of the findings we've come up with is the more powerful and stronger the electrical coming in to DNA, the better it is for DNA. So you might say, well, yeah, I would figure that, right? But over time, it affects the DNA, okay? It changes the DNA, which we don't really, we haven't calculated that. So I'll go there in a minute. So what DNA does with the energy is what we're calculating. It's not that we know it receives it, it's what does it do with it. And it's changing it to be more receptive and then be able to conduct the energy. So that's only one kind of pattern or wave. We're also working on Scalar and quantum at this present time. And what I'm doing is we're working with spirits, codes, the masters, light, color, sound. We're exploring all of it because we want to see what actually happens. And what we're doing is we're proving divine energies actually facilitate healing. Now, I know you're thinking, well, we kind of know that, right? We're all here. This is not anything new. But we're proving it. And that's the difference. We know we can feel it, but to prove it means we can work with it in a different way. Okay? So here, I'm going to give you an example. So the reason I introduced Mega was because I'm going to tell you this. So this is a gauge. So what I did was I called in Mega, asked for the energy to come into the DNA. The initial, it raised it 55% right at that very moment. 6 hours later, it raised to 70%, and 26 hours later, it raised to 73%. This proves energy that you bring in affects your DNA over time. That's quite something in science, okay? Now, I did another master, okay? We've done many, but another master that you're all familiar with is Mary Magdalene. And so initially, she came in at 40%, and then 6 hours later, 72%, and 26 hours later, she was equal to Mega at 73%. Within 24 hours, she raised that DNA's energy 73%. I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps. So we also did, we've done lots of things, but we also did a bottle of vitamin C. So a liquid bottle, I was holding it, bringing in the energy, began to see the energy move faster and faster and faster. And as the energy moved faster, it created an electron, okay? After 1 minute, we calculated how much energy that was raised to, 60% in 1 minute. That's quite quick, okay? That's really quick. So what does it all mean, all right? Well, this means that we can communicate with energy, and we can control what we say and do with the energy, and that the faster it moves, it amplifies the energy. So we're testing biological effects at this point. We're testing Scalar and quantum also. And what it's proving is that, and I know this is no news to you, but it's proving the link between the quantum field and consciousness. So here's a little ditty for you, okay? Healers, people who work in the healing arts, okay, for some reason, they are always drawn, they may not know it, to 40 hertz frequency in the DNA molecule. In other words, when we test DNA, we know that healers have worked at 40 hertz. And now they don't know it, usually, unless they're using some type of tuning forks or mechanism. But if you're just doing healing work, you're usually resonating at 40 hertz. Across the board, healers all over the world, it's intrinsic in the DNA molecule. Okay. We're opening other strands of DNA that are stored information. We're learning how energy moves faster and faster. It radiates higher dimensional frequencies. And why is this important? Because it's teaching how to work with the different energies. It teaches us we're consciously intending something in a very specific way. We're understanding energy better. We're appropriately how to communicate and what to communicate. So we know if we put out a negative thought, it's negative. If it's positive, it's positive. But this explains so much more beyond that understanding. And here's another fact, that not all energy affecting DNA do we want to raise in frequency. There are some that decrease, and those decreases are what we want to sort of decrease in the DNA itself, that may be we're carrying a pattern that we no longer want to utilize. So we have the ability also to decrease that and increase it in another frequency. And we can prove this. This is shown now. So I'm just going to let you know, many of you probably know this, but we have biological DNA, and the spiritual DNA runs along the outside of our DNA. And it was just a little fact that I became aware of in working with it. So activation often happens through experience. And some of the ways, I think I'm not going on all my pages, sorry about that. Some of the ways that we activate are what are up on the screen. So, or one of some of the ways that I do, but many also work in. And also sacred places hold specific frequencies. I've been to many places, I've experienced that we all have. We know when something feels different than ourselves, and they carry this high frequency. There's stored information there that has and carries unique wisdom that comes to us. 5 minutes? Ten. Okay, doing good. All right. So I want to talk a little bit about just some of the experiences I've had, where I've gone. The doorway of Aramu Maru in Peru, say that three times fast. There were three doorways. This was the middle door. Another door that I stood in prior to, I could feel myself dematerialize in that door. That's an experience, I gotta tell you. Nothing like I've ever had before. And then I stand in this doorway, and there's this little curvature, you put your third eye in, and three light beings show up and ask me if I wanted to go with them. I declined, because I have work to do, and that's what I told them. But I thought the invitation was really an awesome invitation. So that's a great experience. I mean, I'm not going to get that anywhere else like that except there. Okay? Blind Frog Ranch, I'll share with you what happened. Who knows Blind Frog Ranch? Okay, next to Skinwalker Ranch. Everybody's heard of Skinwalker in Utah. Okay? So we were doing a shamanic journey. And what happened was the reptilians came above and wanted to know what the heck we were doing up there. You know, they could feel the vibe. They were curious what was happening, but it was affecting us and it was affecting them, and they were communicating. And then a little bit later, I went to do some toning up on the hill, and this spaceship uncloaked itself, and I could see all of the extraterrestrials going down in the earth, extracting the minerals and the elements that were there, that they've been there for eons. And this one little one is about 3 feet tall and kind of gold, had antennas, you know, like what you would think a Martian looked like, you know, with antennas. And it came up to me, and I was quite taken back, I've got to tell you, because I wasn't really expecting it. And he tips his head, and he says to me, and he must have heard me talking in my telepathic thinking, we are as curious about you as you are about us. And I thought, wow, that blew me away, because I really only thought in my terms that I was curious, but who thought he was curious too, right? And then they left some sacred symbols that taught me how to get into the cosmos really quickly. And the symbol, and I've shared this with other groups, this teaches you how to get in really fast, okay, how to travel. And he said to me, everything is in this symbol, everything. Their entire language of their life is held in one symbol. That blew me away too, so who knew, right? Mount Shasta. We were there last fall, up in Telos, part of Mount Shasta, and the Lemurian gatekeeper comes above and gave me all kinds of information about what's coming and how we need to think of our food, and that this is going to change the way we think of our food. And it was pretty interesting. I call him Mr. G because I can't say his name, but it was fascinating that he came to speak to us, right? When I was in Hawaii, we were at a sacred heiau, and standing on the wall were all the kings of the islands, and they came and put a lei around my neck and thanked me for raising the vibration of the land in Hawaii. These can't happen when I'm sitting at home in my, you know, bedroom in a chair. This has to happen. You have to be in a place to experience certain happenings. And I've had it happen in my bedroom in the chair, but this is a different quality. Working hands-on with the dolphins when I lived in Mexico, literally holding the dolphins and this energy moving between the dolphin and the receiver, you know, the person that's receiving. And little funny story, really quick. There were two tanks, two different types of dolphins, one that were captured and one that grew in captivity. And as I walked by, this one dolphin kept jumping out of the tank. The tank was only about 2 feet deep, you know, lower in the ground, but 2 feet high. And the dolphin kept jumping out. It jumped out 5 times and jumped back into its tank. And we're all watching this, like, what is this dolphin doing, right? And I asked it, why are you doing this? And it said, we, the ones in the tank, want to work with you like the others. This can't happen when you're sitting in your chair, right? So experience is the best teacher. So how many remember other times from other places that are affecting their current life? Okay, good. How many have traveled between lives to find out more information about yourself? Between lives. Oh, fantastic. Really good. Okay. How many know and are aligned with their soul plan right now? Okay. Decent amount. Okay. And if you don't, I would mention that it would be a good thing to get in tune with that, you know, because you want to know what you're here for, okay? I want to talk about a couple places that we're going at this point, sacred places. I'm taking retreats, people on retreat, to Glastonbury right after the Portal to Ascension in Glastonbury. We are going to be doing a 5-day retreat there, so we're going to the 7 chakras of Glastonbury. We're going to explore Merlin, and there's a lot to explore Merlin, about Merlin. Things that I think the average person really does not know, this information and the connection to Egypt that Merlin has, Joseph of Arimathea, and the Holy Grave, to find your own Holy Grail within, Michael's ley lines, the Stonehenge, crop circles. We're going to go and hear, what do the crop circles actually have to say to us? What are they? What is the communication that they want to share? Then we're going to jump right over to the south of France. You can do one or both. We're going to do the footpath of Mary Magdalene, We're going to explore the Black Madonna, the Cathars, medieval castles, go to Lourdes. We're going to go to the open to the coatings in the Church of Mary Magdalene in Rennes-la-Bains, and where Mary is laid to rest. And we're going to check it out. We're going to do a lot of ceremony, initiation, shamanic journeys. We really want to get in. We want to understand, what does this have to be revealed? What purpose does it have for my life right now? And then next year, February of 24, we go to Egypt and the initiating journey to the Temples of Light. I'm co-facilitating with this with Jorge Luis Delgado, and we are going to be with a world-famous Egyptologist. So I can't wait to explore more about that doorway in the foot of the Sphinx. I can't wait to talk with her. You know, she's alive. She's real. She has information. She tells me that everything that mankind needs to know is in the Sphinx. Can you imagine? That's everything. And it's not written somewhere. It's in the energy of the Sphinx. And it will reveal when we are ready to be revealing. So we're, so I have a note here. The Sphinx, in the presence of the Sphinx, she is the key to unlock your next evolution of consciousness and remembering. She holds information about your inner sanctuary and who you are and what you've been doing with your life. Form an energetic pattern that acts like a key. This is what she says. So some other trips we'll be doing next year is to Belize and Roatan, because we're going to physically work with the dolphins. I had something scheduled for Hawaii this year, but some things fell through with the dolphins, and I really want everybody to have that experience that wants to. So we're going to adjust that for next year. And then this fall, we're doing Mount Shasta again, because there's so much to explore and receive there too. So life will never be the same again. And I just want to thank everybody for being here and listening to my little spiel. And I'm hoping that I can bring more information about our scientific findings, because the sky's the limit, and I can't wait to find out more. I feel like a kid in a candy store. You get one question answered, 10 more show up. So never to be satisfied, but always to journey in to find more information to help us all. One thing, when I begin to do these explorations and these journeys, I always begin by saying that this is for the good of mankind and humanity. We'll only learn from this. So that opens the portal to what this is intended for. Not to be made money, but so that we can grow as a populace and understand how to